Welcome home.
I'm back home in the house of God.
The house of God.
God is not a secret.
Not a secret. God is not a secret to be kept.
God is not a secret to be kept.
We are going public with this.
We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill.
I am saying in 2015 that if we don't snap it today, it's going to peak its head in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and on and on and on and on until you get the revelation that you need to let it go. Somebody say, let it go. Now, as God is speaking to you today, you're already being built up with that thing that I'm talking about. That's what it is. That's what it is. So take note to what God's speaking today. We have opened the door to things like bad relationships. We have opened the door to bad situations, finances, debt. We have opened the door to a lot of things that have caused us to sink in this next season if we don't get revelation of it. Are you with me? What about hurt, mistakes, rejection? Like things that we've heard and things that we've been planted in our spirit in 2015, if we don't fix it, listen, God ain't going to do it. There's your revelation. This is for you to take care of, and He'll meet you right there. And a lot of times we want God to manifest Himself to us in a real, tangible, burning bush experience. If that's the case, it takes faith and throws it completely out the window, friend. You can't expect God to say, or you can't expect you to say, God, show yourself to me and I'll serve you forever. Where's the faith in that? It's by faith, not by works, that I've been saved. I don't know about y'all, but it's by faith. So this doubt and disbelief, it has to go. You got to let it go. And I really feel that that is going to be the topic today, is doubt and disbelief. That you might have moved on faith with God on things that He has told you to do. Doubt and disbelief has creeped in to try to smother you before 2016. Doubt and disbelief, man. Doubt and disbelief is not a good position to be in. Doubt, I mean, you're with me, you're a pastor. Doubt and disbelief that the church is even going to grow. That we're even going to grow spiritually. That's a lie that I'm believing to be the truth, and I got to get rid of it. Not God. I've got to renounce that and say, no, God's called me to prosper. No, God's called me to be prosperous. No, God has called me and He has told me by His word that if I obey Him and I serve Him, His hands of favor is on me and it's on man as well. So if that's the case, if God is for me, finish this. Hallelujah. Somebody need to walk around and put who on your forehead? Who? Get you a sticky note and put it on your rearview mirror. Who? Somebody years ago gave me a word, said, the Lord's got a word for you. I praise the Lord. Give it to me. He said, here you go. It's a sticky note. It said, who? Man, that man. My whole life, my whole year of ministry was great because I looked at that and I was like, who? Who? Not you. Not you. Not him. Not that. Not that situation. Who? Oh, God's for me, and that's all that matters. Amen. God's intent, I want to say, is to leave behind your enemies. Do you believe that? Amen. One more time. God's intent is to leave behind your enemies. But a lot of the times, we got them on one of them child link things, and we're like, come on. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? The thing you see at Six Flags, you put it around your wrist, and you put it around your, I guess, kid's neck. I don't know. What do you put it around? Is it a kid's leash? You put it on their wrist? Because I've never done it. Or a harness. Right? Yeah. Walking around like, right? Pull the reins, right? Right. So we our enemy a lot of the time is attached to us, but we like it. We like it, man. And I'm going to do an illustration today, and I'm going to show you. You know I love illustrations. So I'm going to show you what it's like to be attached to your enemy, and you like it. Okay? God's intent is to close up your problems from last year. Y'all believe that? Somebody say, close it up. God's intent is to wash away everyone and everything that has come after you in a defensive stance last year. So what you're saying is, if God's ready, I must be willing to get it done. Are you willing? Are you willing to let things go? Are you willing to let him just stay over there? Are you willing to cut the leash, so to speak, in order for God to do what God wants to do? Do you know that, like, if you've been serving the Lord for 16 years, some of y'all have been serving him for 2, 12, 9, whatever the year is, and there's really, don't take this as disrespect, but there's no growth in you. Okay? I don't know y'all that way, but you know you. You evaluate you. Is there spiritual growth? And watch this. This is when you know when you're spiritual growing. And I know not everybody's called to be a disciple, but that's where the devil's lying to you, because the Bible says we all are. I'm not called to be a disciple. You better read up. Right? So everybody's called to be a disciple. Everybody's called to preach the gospel. You believe that? Right. You believe that? Yeah. Whitney just told me on stage, I'm not called to preach the gospel. I'm like, oh, Lord. She said, I'm not called to a pulpit. I'm not called to a pulpit. Yeah, she said, I'm a teacher. The amount of teachers in this room right now, I'm not going to. I'm just, amen. Amen. So, but everybody is called. Everybody's called to preach. This is how you know if you're spiritually grown, when you start planting seeds in somebody else to grow them. Simple. Well, then a lot of people say, well, I'm not really there yet. Well, that's because you haven't made yourself readily available to be there yet. And there's things that we need to shift in this year, guys, to go deeper into God. Do you believe that? Listen, I want us to go so deep into God this year to where this time next year, we can look back and we've got sons and daughters up under us. We have got people that started on the streets, but now God has prospered them all through the blessing and then pulling off my anointing. Do you believe that? That you have to pick you somebody. Casey Doss says it the perfect way. You had to pick you somebody in your life that's anointed by God, and you have to pull from that anointing. You pull from that anointing and you say, teach me. You pull from that anointing and you say, help me. You pull from that anointing because the anointing that God has on your life, I want to pull from it and I want to deposit into me, and I want God to do in me what God did in you so I can grow. It's not to be like you. I don't have to wear the same sneakers as you wear. I don't want to be like you like that. I just want to pull from that anointing that God has got on your life. Listen, I pulled from a man's anointing. Y'all believe that? I pulled from a couple of them, James. I'm like, I want you, and I want you, and I want you. And I'm like, Lord, I started prophesying and praying towards you. Right? And it's a blessing to be prayed for by that person. Are you hearing me? The word. Exodus 14. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to be looking verse 5 through when the Holy Spirit runs me out of wind. Exodus 14, verse 5 and on. And we're talking about Pharaoh. Everybody knows the story about Moses and Pharaoh, right? All this back and forth, all these plagues and all this stuff and all this knocking on his door and he didn't want to listen type thing. Verse 5. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds because they had let the people go. What have we done? I'm reading out of the NLT. What have we done? Letting all those Israelite slaves go and get away. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him about 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fist raised in defiance. Verse 9. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all of his horses, all of his chariots, all of his charioteers, and all of his troops. The Egyptians called up with the people of Israel. They caught up with them of Israel, and they were camped beside the shore near that place, across from that place. And Pharaoh approached the people of Israel. He looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians, I'm being funny because I know what y'all are talking about, overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses this, watch this. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why have you done this to us? And why did you make us leave Egypt? Verse 12. Don't that sound like the church, y'all? Verse 12. Didn't we tell you that this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, Moses, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. I love it. I love it. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and wait for the Lord to rescue you. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Chill out. Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. The New King James Version says to break camp. Get out. Get moving. Are you with me? Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry land. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge after the Israelites. My great glory, watch this, my great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all of Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Verse 19, then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and the Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other at night. Amen. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night. Somebody say, let the wind blow. Let the wind. Somebody say, let the fire fall.
Let the fire fall.
Let the glory come down.
So
the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on the dry ground, and the walls of the water on each side, they fell. Then the Egyptians, verse 23, then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. Get your visual. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. Verse 25, he twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Hallelujah. Verse 26, when all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, here we go again, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and their charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord, guess what? Swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and the charioteers and the entire army of Pharaoh, all of the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one survived. God wants to dismantle your enemy. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. Come on. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him, and they put their faith in the Lord and in his servant, Moses. Don't you love the word? Now, what I want to say is, if it weren't for the wind, there would have been no way. You believe that? The wind actually did one thing. What did it do? It brought a dry season. The wind brought in, and it said the wind blew all night. And the wind is actually what dried up the water. So here it goes. The wind's blowing. Right? So the wind's blowing, and then it dries up the water. And then what do I look at? What am I seeing? I'm seeing dry land. Now, if it wasn't for that dry season and that dry moment in their life, would it have been a way for them to get across? So, this dry season, if you had one in 2015, was the time for you to walk. Okay? Now, this is a little prophetic here. So, the dry land is actually the moment that you walk. All of 2015 was a moment to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. By faith, you might have did something. By faith, you might have put forth an effort. By faith, you might have transitioned somehow. And you started walking by faith through a season of dry waters. My God. So now I'm walking through this area of dry waters. And then when I get all the way to the end of dry waters, ain't nothing happening. All it is dry. But guess what? There's a foundation below you. It prevents you from falling. Okay? So, and the Lord had moved from before you. The Lord was guiding you. If you stepped out by faith in any area of your life, the Lord guided you there. So, the cloud was before them, guiding them to where they need to be. And then after that, whenever people started attacking, guess what happened? The cloud moved from before them and come in after them. So now, all of 2015, see, in order to step out in faith into the new year of 2015, which was the last year, might have been a little bit before, but whatever, but you stepped out in that faith and you started walking. But what you didn't know and what God failed to tell you back then is that you were stepping into a season of dryness. You're actually stepping into a dry land, which means there's not going to be no fruit, which means there's not going to be much anointing, which means there's not going to be much Holy Ghost fire, which means there's not going to be a move of God. Not really, because everything's so dry. But let me tell you something, baby. There's a way that's being made for you, right? So you got what you're doing is you're walking all year long going, I just don't know. I know God said. I don't know what God. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I was just following the man with the rod. I don't know what I'm doing. And hey, man, you crazy? That was your word that you gave me, and I stepped out on faith. What is this? Moses goes, chill out. Be still and know that he's God. And see, the people of Moses, I love the story because the people of Moses, this is what the church do. The church immediately cries out to the man. The church immediately says, hey, you said this and you said this and you're prophetic. It's like, you know, and all this stuff. And like, it ain't just happening. And you're like, whoa. But the word says that the people of Moses cried out to God and then said to Moses. I love that. The people cried out to God. They turned to God first. And then they said to Moses, hey, you should have just left us. You would have been better off if we were left back there to die. And Moses is like, chill, man. Be still and wait on the Lord. The first message I ever preached in this building, be still and wait on God. Because what we've done is, God failed to tell you this entire season of your life that you just come out of is all going to be dry. It is a testing of your faith, man. It is a testing of your faith that you are walking through a season of dryness in 2015 and it all seems like nothing's going to happen. But somebody tell me what happens when they get to the other side of 2016. When they get to the other side of 2015, what happens over here? They look back and it's like, oh my God! Like there were people, 600 people, 600 horses. That's 1,200 things. And if you put 4 tires on each thing, do the math. God broke it all. God snapped it all. And God covered the waters and got rid of every bit of the enemies that were following you. What if God never closed it up? What would have happened then? Listen, friend, you ain't got to deal with that no more. God has closed up last year, and you have stepped over here into a new season of your life. And when you can look back, you can say, man, that is a raging river. But I know that last year I saw a dry land. My God, Why do I feel so free this year? Why is there so much going on in 2016? Like I need to tell somebody what just happened right here. Like I need to tell somebody that 2016 is going to be the best year of my entire life. Like, you don't know what happened to me. I look back across the land and I'm like, oh my God, I know I saw water. I know I saw a river, but you don't know what God did. He opened up the waters. All I had to do was follow a man. All I did was follow a man. But see, this is where we mess up, church. We follow the man and not God. Okay, but listen, there is some anointing and there is some fire and there is some prophetic behind following a man that's following God. There's something there. There is a lot of people that follow man for what he represents, but there's not a lot of people that follow man for what he hears. Listen, I want to be up close to the bosom of a natural person that is willing to hear from God and do whatever God says. Every time. Every time. Why? Pull from the anointing. Pull from the anointing. If it ain't here, get you somewhere that you can pull from. Because listen, there is power in following what Moses said and what Moses did. Why? Here's the ticket. He followed God. Moses was stupid, y'all. He was ignorant. He couldn't even speak. He had to get somebody to speak for him. Somebody cut his meat for him too, I bet. You know this. The Bible says it. I'm not making fun of the Scriptures. I'm just being real. Moses was not all that, and neither are we. You're walking across this dry land, and you look back, and you're saying, man, last year was so dry. But when I look back, I don't see that no more. Why? Because God closed it up, and you'll never get it back again. Will there be more dry seasons? I mean, if I could base it on my ministry, I'd say, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I speak not, but just as the wind blows, things change. Honestly. What happens when the wind starts blowing here? Things start changing. Y'all are here, but I got to say this. I still think about that time we was out here praying and just the tsunami came through, man. Just, you remember that? I'm like, my God, where'd that come from? But it was like that. It was amazing. But anyway, the dry land that you are walking through, God shut it off for you. Glorious. He shut it off for Moses and his people. He completely closed up the waters. He is completely closing up your past. The enemies that came after you or were coming after you, God's closing it all up. But there's one thing that I believe would have not happened if Moses hadn't done. You know what it was? He told Moses, he gave him a command. What did he tell him to do? Raise your staff, man. We taught the meaning of the staff. Raise your staff. What if he had been defiant and said no? Huh? Yeah. Raise your staff. Listen, God wants to close up your enemies. God wants to shut off the waters of 2015. God wants to shut off all that dry mess that you had. But you must do something. He told him two times. He tells him in verse 13 of 14, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid, just stand there and watch for the Lord. All this stuff. Actually, go down to verse 21. It says, then Moses raised his hand over the sea and the Lord opened. Moses did what and the Lord did what? You must put forth effort before the Lord does anything. Always. Every time the Bible talks about the Lord doing something, the man always put forth the work. It's deep stuff right there, man. Every time you must put forth some effort, Moses. Let's go to the next one. The next one is actually recorded in verse 26. When all the Israelis had reached the other side of the... And the Lord said to Moses, here we go again, raise your hand over the sea again, then the waters will rush back. If you raise it, then it'll happen. If you do what I say to do, then it'll happen. But if we don't do what God is telling us to do, it will not happen. You control your blessing, friend. Write that down. You control your blessing. Because God is ready to do it all if you would just put forth a little effort in what you've been hearing. I'm telling you, 2015 for you was not a mistake. But things that happened back at Pharaoh's palace was all for a season. Things that happened back over here at Pharaoh's house was all a season to get God to get all the glory for what He's going to do out of it. We talk about it all the time. Without the suffering, there'd be no glory. Think about the cross. Without the suffering, there'd be no glory. Think about it. We got to let go and start letting God take over the stuff. We have to. By the show of hands, man. No, don't even do that. I know you've been through a dry season. I don't want to know. I know, because the Lord would not have given me this word if not. I know that you have been through a dry season and you feel like everything that you did by faith has been an absolute waste. Because ain't nothing happened. But see, this is what you did. When you cried out for God to move on your behalf, when you cried out for God to move on your behalf, where you would step out on faith and you're like, whoo, yes, thank you, Lord. Whoo, yeah, whoo. And if you could have asked the Lord this, in which we failed to ask Him, God, will I see fruit from it? We don't say that because we're selfish. God, would I see fruit from this? Yes, but God hardly ever gives a time frame. Hardly ever, man. So I'm going to do this. I've got this illustration I'm going to run. Anybody wonder why this is over here in the first place? Anybody? Yeah, praise the Lord. People come in and be looking for stuff around here, man. What is this? Good job. It's a boy. We're not pregnant.
No.
Did you really think that? I'm sick of you. See where your mind's at. This, guys, is a balloon. Revelation. Okay? This is a balloon for the podcast. This balloon here says problems, situations, doubt, and so on. 2015. This is everything. So they can hear it. This is everything that last year represented for you. Are you hearing me? Okay. And as everything in your life from 2015, your step of faith, everything that God did, whatever happened, I don't care if you, hopefully you didn't slap your kid, but if you slapped your kid, it's in the balloon. If you did something really bad, it's in the balloon. All the times you doubted God, it's in the balloon. Every time that you have doubted that you were out, actually you did the right thing by stepping out on faith, it's in the balloon. Are we good? Everything's in this balloon that you did that actually was in the opposite of faith. Okay, so what you've done is you have wrote one thing on here, and then it's like did this, and you've wrote another thing, and it's actually did this, and it's wrote another thing, and it's actually did this. And before long, what you've done is you, all this stuff that people have said to you, if people told you that you weren't going to amount to anything, if people doubted you, if people doubted your faith, if people doubted your belief, what it's done is it's built up with us. Because people say, oh, that's just nonsense. People don't believe the way I believe. But no, that stuff hurts, man. That stuff hurts. For you to tell me, for my own family to disown me because I love the gospel? Come on now. For my family to disown me because I like the gospel and I've done turned to the Lord. Like, listen, all this stuff is bound up with us, and this is what we've done. We have completely put this thing around our wrist, and we're walking around with life, and we're like, okay, well, I love God, and, you know, God's this and God's that, and I just can't. Oh, I mean, I do. I really do. And then, you know, my mama. Oh, and then my dad, it's always getting in your way. Always. The problem is always there. And it's because of reason you have attached it to you. You have allowed that thing to be on you. No matter what you do, it ain't going nowhere. It gets in the way all the time. Every time you move your hands in the prophetic, every time you move your hands in talking, every time you hug somebody, every time you wave at somebody, every time you do this and every time you do that, it is like always coming back into your spirit. My mama don't love me. It's on the balloon. My daddy don't love me. People are against me. Listen, you know what you've done? I've forgiven them. I'm done with that. Because your body language says differently. Because I can see your problems. I can see the doubt. I can see the disbelief. When you walk in the room, I can tell your faith ain't where it needs to be no more. Because when I saw you last time, it was all glory. But now you've got something attached to you that won't leave you alone. It is so annoying to have this stuff wrapped and bound around you that you can't do nothing to get away from it. It is so bad as a Christian to be dealing with this stuff. But it's actually things that you wrapped around you yourself. You did this. You. Not God. Well, why would God allow, you know, this and that to happen? And why would God allow me to have to put this in? Why did God allow Pharaoh's heart to be hardened? To show His glory. He put all the chariots in motion so He could show His glory to His people. And this thing is getting on my nerves. I can't seem to get rid of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is what we do as a Christian. Now I'm going to talk about your unreconciled relationships with whoever it is. Okay? I'm going to talk about people that you don't like no more because of a certain situation. I'm going to talk about people that have downed you and you haven't made it right yet. Y'all all right? Okay. So this is what we've done. We have wrapped that relationship around us and we have said, I'm done with it. I've let it go. Okay. See, this is what you've done. You've let it go, but it's still attached. Right? It's still attached to you. You've let it go, but it's still attached. It might be gone a little bit further, but you still got it attached. It's still on you. Is there scissors in here? Where? Get them, because I forgot them. Praise the Lord. All right, so you've got this thing and you've released it a little bit, but it's still bothering you. You've let it go and you're like, you know what? They are against me. Like, I'm done. Like, this is the church, y'all. I'm done. I'm fine with them. It's them that ain't all right with me no more. Right? And I'm done. Hey, I've let it go. But it's still attached to you because when somebody says something, you get all aroused about it because it's still connected. Okay, well, fine. I'll just cut it loose. Fine, cut it loose. Somebody say, cut it off. I've cut it off. Hey, I'm done. I'm reconciled. I'm done. I have cut it off. I have let it go. Then there's a problem. It's still in the room. It's still in the room. You know what the devil does? You come over here through this new year and you're like, oh, praise the Lord. And then you come in contact with that somebody or you find that you don't have faith no more and you get into a little pit and you get into a little dry season and you're like, man, I swear, like, I just don't know what God's doing. I just don't. Man, people just don't love me no more. Is God even real? Hold on. I remember that person said that about me. I remember that they said that about me, and I'm really hurt about it by now. And then time goes on. You can't seem to still get away from it, but you're detached from it. You're not attached to it no more, but guess what? It's still in the room. You ever, everybody ever felt that elephant in the room when somebody walks in and don't like you? It's in the room. You can walk away from it. You can walk past it. You can walk around it. But I promise you, the devil will bring back to your remembrance that thing. If you do not let it go and give it to God. There's a difference in letting it go. There's a difference in cutting it off. And there's a difference in letting it go and cutting it off and giving it to God. There's a difference, friend. Some of y'all need to grab this problem this year. Some of y'all need to grab this situation and actually do what needs to be done. You need to grab this thing. You need to wrap this thing. You need to see that everything that 2015 represents, you need to open this door. You need to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Your doubt. I don't know. I ain't got a clue because I gave mine to God. I don't know what doubt you're talking about. I don't know what molestation you're talking about. I don't know what pornography you're talking about. I don't know what addictions that you're talking about. I don't know. I have given mine to God because the Word tells me that my deliverance is in the King. My deliverance is in Him. I have taken my problems. I have evaluated my problems. I have wrote all my problems down. I have evaluated and audited me, and I have let it go. Let it go, man. You do not want to go into this next year dealing with dysfunction. You do not want to deal in this next year with all of that that was on or in that balloon. You have to get rid of it, cut it off, and let it go and give it to God. This is where we mess up. We cut it off. We cut it off. We let it go, but we don't give it to God. We're just good enough for us to tell people that we've let it go. So we appear to look better in the Christian eye. But you have not given it to God. God wants your balloon. God wants your problems. Come on, man. That's what He's for. Somebody needs to use God in that way. Somebody needs to get it in their head that God did what God did because you could put pressure back on Him. Everything, all the dysfunctions, everything going on in your life is all for God to take and meet you there. If you would just humble yourself enough, cut it off and let it go. Let it go. Can anybody see that your problem is still stuck within the four walls of the church? Your problem has done nothing but built up walls around you. I can't seem to get rid of my problem. I can't seem to get rid of my issues. I know why, because now you've built a wall. And we can't seem to break that wall down. It's because your problem is still within the walls. If the balloon was still in here, the problem would still be within the walls. Because you've not let God take away that hurt. You've not let God take away that discontent, that doubt, and that disbelief. It's fine to tell God, God, I don't believe in You that way no more. It's fine to tell God, Father, I had a lot of faith when I started this thing, but now it's just not there. I need You to probe me or something. I need You to hit me with something. I need to get back where I used to be. And you know what? The Bible tells me that I'm should. So you know what? By faith, I'm going to do something like Moses. I'm going to lift myself up and I'm going to start again. I'm going to start walking in the right direction again. I'm going to start prophesying to things that I don't see. I'm going to start saying things that I don't see as if they are, so one day I can see. When you start prophesying to things that are dried up and dead, you'll start seeing life being brought back through. If your marriage is a funk right now, if your marriage is dead and your marriage is dried out, prophesy that it's awesome. Prophesy that it's great. Prophesy that you get the best husband in the world. Oh, hallelujah. I've got the best husband in the world. I've got the best wife in the world. My wife's better than Mary in Jesus' name. Right? Oh, get you some of that, Jesus. My wife is awesome. I'm going to prophesy to it until I speak the fruits into existence and I start reaping the harvest from this. We're killing. Life and death is in the power of the little bitty piece of flesh that flaps between the teeth. And you can speak life and you can speak death over you. I'm going to tell you, anybody that speaks life and death over me, it don't work because I speak life all the time. You can speak death over me, but it ain't going to work. Canceled in Jesus' name. Right? But the words that I speak about myself can bring forth life or death in me. Be very, 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 very careful in this next season about how much life you speak, because you might just get every bit of it. I'm telling you, God will hook you up if you speak life. What's it going to come with? What's it going to look like? I can tell you, me and James talked about it. More intercession, more prayer. Mm-hmm. Greater intercession is going to bring forth a greater awakening. I'm not even trying to get into this right now. It's going to. Greater intercession will birth a greater awakening. But we want a greater awakening without greater intercession. We want a greater revival without not greater prayer. I want to see God do great things, but I ain't willing to get in the room and do nothing. I'm not willing to get in there and contend against nothing. No, no. I haven't seen the movie War Room, but I keep hearing somebody needs to watch that. It'll get you fired up about getting in a prayer room. I ain't even seen it yet. But see, everybody comes out of that thing filled with the Holy Ghost, but then it dies out like the balloon. No, get your revelation, stick your revelation, and dang the resolutions. Resolutions you are going to fail at. A revelation, once you get it, God will birth through it. Amen? And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay these up here, and I'm going to tie them off. Y'all go ahead and take a good look at this. One of these is yours. Go ahead and start picking out which one you want. One of these is yours, friend. And what I want to do is I want to just worship God a bit. I want to process things that have happened in 2015, get locked on them, write 2015 on your balloon, walk out that door, let it go. Hallelujah. Let it go. Everything that you feel, everything that you know that you just told God about, write 2015 on this balloon and let it go. Y'all feel that? Let it go. It will not affect you in this next season. It's gone. You got to cut it off and let it go. Amen. Lynn, raise it up. So if you would, just come. Have a moment at your seat if you need to. Do it with your family. When you're ready, come to the door. I'll give you the balloon, give you the marker. Write it and release it. Amen. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we just praise you. Father, we worship you during this time, God. We give it to you. Lord, we just ask you to lead everybody, Lord God, to repentance. Lead everybody, God, bring to their remembrance right now everything that manifested in 2015 that wasn't supposed to be there. God, and for them to write it on this balloon and give it to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more information, visit us online at www.nextministries.net or join us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/nextministries.